good morning, good evening, whatever the case may be. Coming to you from Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
And around the world via the internet, it's the Geekly Debate. And on topic today is...
Best comic book event.
And I am David, and joining us at the panel is...
Taylor.
Adam.
Gomer.
All right. Fight!
I think the first thing we should do is set the criteria for what an actual event is in comic books.
Yeah, because there is some
there's some debate. There is gray area. An event has to have a book, a miniseries come out. It's its own book. It may have some tie-ins, but it doesn't have to necessarily have tie-ins.
Usually they do.
Yeah. That is to distinguish an event from a story arc, like the Dark Phoenix saga happened in, what, Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, one of those books. Yeah. So it would just be a really good story arc. And then there are crossovers where one or two different books that are ongoing have a story that tie into each other. This month, there's one of those going on between Black Widow and Punisher at Marvel. So that's how we're distinguishing these books. So if one of your greatest events that you consider an event is not in here, that might be why. Cool, we got that. That's the fine print, the red tape.
Yeah.
Cutting out of the way.
I'm also going to throw in, for my own personal criteria at least, I'm going to rule out alternate future, alternate dimension, alternate timeline stuff.
So everything DC's ever done?
No. Oh. Okay, things like Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, they reboot at the end, but
okay,
they start off at least in okay, the main DC.
So you are taking out Age of Apocalypse.
I would take out Age of Apocalypse.
Even though the prelude to that, which was not really part of the Age of Apocalypse book proper, did establish that it was something that happened in 616.
Well, one of the things I'm going to judge events by is the impact they had in the universe around them.
Agreed.
In Age of Apocalypse, inherently, except for a few survivors infiltrating the Marvel universe.
At certain points throughout the rest of 616, yes,
and
over the years.
Other
yes,
than, and most of that was just popularity because they wanted to bring back these characters. But
one-handed Wolverine is pretty cool.
Inherently, these things
teenage
do not have
Cable
impact.
Yeah, Teenage Cable's neat.
Oh, you mean X-Men?
X-Man, yeah. X-Man.
That's one of those stupid X-Men convoluted timeline crap where, like, they're the same person.
Yeah, but,
like,
they're from different parallel dimensions.
One's from the future and one's from the past.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, Dark Beast is still hanging out in the 616 universe. It's just, you're right, it's so weird. Age of Apocalypse, put the
but
X through it.
The event itself, if, one of the things I'm thinking about is the impact it has on the universe around it.
Agreed. Agreed.
And you might want to start off on that one because yours actually had a pretty big impact.
Oh, dude. I think my pick is the center point for what I like to call Bendis' decade of decadence at Marvel Comics.
I don't know. It wasn't all decadent.
I know. It wasn't all decadent.
Bendis didn't even write that event.
I know he didn't. But okay, if you look at the influence that led up to that book and the influence after, you definitely it has Bendis written all over it.
He certainly got a lot of mileage out of it, but we're dancing around.
Yeah,
it.
We're dancing around it. My pick is Civil War, Marvel Civil War, an epic book. But let me talk about what happened before that. Before that, Nick Fury, Secret War happened, a book written by Bendis, that established that some stuff was going on in Latveria and chased Nick Fury out of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was a necessary thing to happen for the Civil War to take place. If Nick Fury is still in S.H.I.E.L.D., the Civil War doesn't happen. If that's on OutrightGeekery.com. There should be a card right there on the counter. Had another fan asking about the podcast. But after that, there was Avengers Disassembled, which was also a necessary thing to happen for the Civil War to happen. There had to be some rocky, shaky ground for Iron Man and Captain America to have this beef that they eventually had. There was also an event called House of M, which got rid of most of the mutants in the world. If you have mutants in the world, Civil War does not happen because every mutant goes anti-registration and they lose.
Well, not necessarily.
Hulk was launched into space. With Hulk, whatever team Hulk decides to be on immediately gets a huge boost.
Thor was dead at the time.
All of these things happened so that Civil War could happen. Everything that happened after Civil War, that includes the Secret Invasion, the later picks in this podcast for best event, without Civil War, none of those things happened. The premise of the Civil War was the New Warriors had a reality TV show where they went around saving people's lives, doing heroics on camera, doing it for money, doing it for ratings, doing it for all the wrong reasons. A villain named Nitro explodes near a school and kills hundreds of kids, and
it's a 9/11-esque tragedy.
That's a very good way to put it, because as Marvel has always done in their books, they do take things from the real world, real live social issues, and put them into their, you know, fictional universe. It's sort of a mirror to our own social state, and it's really, you know, their bread and butter. But from there, shit hits the fan. They want everybody, all superheroes, to register. Tony Stark takes one side. Captain America takes the other side because he sees the fascism that is down the road. There's actually a line from issue one of Civil War where Captain America says, superheroes need to stay above the politics or else they'll have Washington telling them who the supervillains are. Go three events after Civil War, and that is exactly what happened. It was a great sort of center stone to Bendis' decade-long event stories that he wanted to tell. It ends with a great scene of Captain America, you know, getting torn down or held back by a bunch of normal everyday citizens who just want to see these heroes stop fighting. And, yeah, it introduces a lot of stuff. We get the Thunderbirds, led by Norman Osborn by the end of this. We get bad guys who are now good guys. We get Tony Stark as director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And things resonate throughout the Marvel Universe for the next 5 years because of things that happened in Civil War. Written by Mark Millar, who's an amazing event writer. He usually writes for movies. And this definitely
nowadays,
felt...
Yeah, he just writes comics that he knows or just exist. Movies.
But Civil War definitely felt like a summer blockbuster popcorn movie of a comic event.
It was.
Written or drawn by Steve McNiven. Dude does no wrong.
Steve McNiven's one of those guys who should draw
everything.
One out of every five books.
Oh, he's amazing. Some of the panels in there are 3D, but that's Civil War. I want to get to yours because yours has an equally amazingly good artist, but I have some beefs with your choices on a couple different levels.
Real quick, let's talk a little bit about Civil War.
Oh, okay, definitely.
I mean, the whole point of a debate is that we all talk
about
it.
I didn't think there was anybody who said anything bad about Civil War.
First I'll give it props. You know, it is the, for better or for worse, it is the genesis of the modern event book.
It really is.
It's the bit, like, pulls everybody in, sets the standard.
It had at least 15 tie-ins and like two or three mini-series in addition to the main Civil War
impacts that last a while.
Yeah, Peter Parker taking the mask off.
That was a big part.
That led to necessarily putting in two different Spidey events just to fix that mess.
And they also did a pretty good job where neither side was the straw man. They both had fairly valid points to their arguments. Like.
Yep.
I get that eventually it was decided that registration wasn't the way to go to the Marvel Universe, but...
Yeah. The promotion behind it was, whose side are you on? They tried to get the internet to debate.
Oh, yeah, it's hard
who
to...
Who was... And there were long debates, Iron Man or Cap.
Oh,
who
it was hard
should
to,
we... Yeah.
It was hard to argue when they put this woman who had her kid killed by a reckless superhero's actions.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe these guys should be accountable when they have
A great scene where she spits in Tony Stark's face at her son's funeral. Just... heart-wrenching stuff,
But this is the thing, though.
Yeah.
How do you debate against Captain America? Captain America has always been the moral center of the Marvel Universe.
The soul.
And Tony Stark has always been
the
douchebag of the Marvel Universe.
Well, that's the thing on the other side, is how far are you willing to go to curtail decency, liberty, freedom of choice, in the name of safety?
Yeah.
It's a difficult question.
It is, and it resonates with everything that happened after 9/11.
It was giving up our freedom for
safety. You know? How does Peter Parker, who has been impacted probably the most by having a bad guy figure out who his real life identity is, how do you tell that guy, no, you got to take off your mask and tell everybody in the world who you are? So that Mary Jane and Aunt May can be in danger just the way Gwen was.
Well, nobody told him he had to take his mask off.
He decided to.
I mean, he could have just signed up on a database somewhere. I mean, who's to say that Kingpin or somebody
isn't
going to
hack that and get that information
out there?
Who's going to say that the government isn't going to use that to have these superheroes do exactly what Captain America was warning them to do?
They could, but in Peter Parker's case, he's the one who decided to go out in front of a press conference pull off his mask and be like, this is who I am.
You're absolutely right. It was a huge moment of issue two. It was the moment of issue two. There's a lot of influence in this book, too. Watchmen, you know, definitely... influence this storyline a whole lot.
Watchmen's influenced a lot of stuff.
It has, but I mean, it's almost a mirror image of what they did in certain parts of Watchmen throughout the history that they told.
Well,
in
the fictional history of Watchmen, there's a the Keen Act, which is pretty much the same thing.
Exactly, the Registration Act. Yeah, right. Yeah. Awesome story. I loved it. I read it again last night, and I might read it again today. I loved it.
Well, as a story, though, it's not really the most compelling narrative arc because, like, you know, you have, like, the debate kind of takes more precedence than the plot.
Oh, agreed. Like, totally agreed.
And at the end of
but
the
I
story...
But I think that's the most important part.
They ended on a pretty massive cliffhanger. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'll just let myself be risen. And then it's just like,
yeah,
there's not really a lot of...
It kind of ends. It doesn't
not
really...
a lot of closure to it, which is the whole point.
Exactly.
And that's one thing, probably the biggest complaint you can have about Civil War is they did set this standard of... We're always moving towards the next event.
Yes.
You've complained about this yourself.
I have. You're right.
There isn't closure at the end of these stories because now you have to read what comes after.
Yeah. I mean, Civil War, the end of Civil War was really just setting up to the assassination
of Cap.
Other
stories do this better than others. Civil War is one of the worst ones, I would argue.
I cannot argue with that. I can't.
The recent Infinity had more closure because, hey, they beat Thanos at
They
least.
Did, yeah. There really was no closure at all. Everything was the status quo except Cap's Secret Avengers went away.
You can almost argue that but it was Cap just, being assassinated is the actual end of the story.
You're right. Which happened almost 2 full months after issue 7 came out. Cap 25 came out almost 2 full months. They did have 2 issues of Cap,
but
that,
if I'm going
one into, closing off Civil War and one opening up the next
If
arc.
I'm walking into my comic shop and I pick up the collected Civil War graphic novel,
that's not
I have
be
to
in
buy
that.
Something else to get the end of the story.
Maybe not. Maybe to get full closure, yes, yeah. I'll give you that. But maybe not the end of the story, because I think the story was more Captain America
there
coming
There is a
up.
Line at the end You're of Civil War
right.
where Tony Stark is like, wait until you see what comes next. He
You're
might as well have been winking
right.
at the reader.
You're absolutely right.
That's nudge, wink, wink,
You're grin. Absolutely right. And it led to some bad things, too. Like, we got the gold Stark helicarrier for like a day and a half. That was terrible.
Well, see, okay, that's the other... A bit of a backtrack about talking about best events to talk about how shitty events are in general.
Yes.
It's like, well, not in general, but like there has to be an event every year now, it seems, and there's definitely a wide range of quality.
Yeah. Well, this year that Civil War came out, Marvel had 2 huge events come out. Annihilation was another event. They
what
had
I'm
out.
Loving is that everybody's talking about how awesome it is that Marvel's doing so well with the movies, and surely they'll be doing the Civil War. In
I
the
don't
movies
think that would
be a
stuff.
Dumb thing to do.
I don't
it really
think
would
work.
Be because they're looking at these events so out of context.
Not
yeah.
I mean, not every big event needs to be a movie.
I don't think any big event needs to be.
Not
a movie.
Every great comic story needs
would,
to be a
exactly.
Movie.
Would we appreciate
exactly.
the Age of Ultron and the X movies at all?
No, not
because
at all.
We're not familiar enough with the regular.
You don't
X
have the
universe.
Context. Yeah.
I mean, what is the regular X universe after the reboot of the last movie?
And also in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's what like a dozen superheroes to pit against each other. In
yeah.
Civil
There's
War.
Not that many, yeah. In Civil War, they were literally dozens on both sides.
I
want to
watch
Heroes
a movie of a bunch of, like... I mean, at least the average moviegoer wouldn't want to watch a movie of, like, a bunch of people they've never heard of just pop out of nowhere, to be
honest.
Yeah, that has
to sell.
Oh, don't
Man,
worry.
That's 15 minutes on Civil War.
We are way off topic. Okay, yeah. So you wanted me to go next?
Yeah, go next with yours, because I got some beefs with it.
Mine's kind of the culmination of the whole tome that Civil War stood, which is Siege, which was the end of the Superhero
the
Registration
end,
Act era, the end of the Divided Heroes
the
era.
The end of the Bendis' Decade of Decadence.
You could say that. Well, yeah, it was his. Kind
it,
of,
was
it was kind of his
book.
Swan song. It was his book. Yeah. Olivier Coppel. Oh. That's one of those names that I only see it in print. I'm not sure.
I think
if
it's
I'm Coppel. It right.
Coppel. Either way, I know exactly who you're
C-O-I-P-E-L.
He's amazing.
He's awesome.
Oh, I read this event last night.
So
some of his panels look literally 3D. They are jumping off the page.
As an art book, this thing is already outstanding. But like. Oh. And I will fully admit this is a popcorn comic. It's a lot of to a lot of degrees, it's fan service comic.
Oh, it's violence. It's all fights.
It's a lot of fights.
It's all about the fights for me in this.
And I'm a big Thor fan, so that helps.
Oh yeah. Thor, this is a Thor-centric book.
Fairly Thor-centric. Cap
What's the premise
a,
of the book?
The premise is that after the Superhuman Registration Act,
Secret Invasion.
A bunch of shit happened. Yeah. Event, long story short, Norman Osborn becomes like the new head of.
He becomes the new Nick Fury,
the new Shield.
Yeah,
which
for
they
all
call
intents
Hammer.
And purposes. Yeah,
whatever. And as little surprise to anyone, he's a complete asshole.
He's psychic, he's, psycho, not psychic, psycho.
He is psycho, not psychic.
Yes.
So he's running around being a dick to like all these superheroes for a long time, and finally he like kind of gets full of himself enough to the point where he's like, I'm going to go take out Asgard.
Well, he has the Cabal going on, which is kind of like the evil Illuminati.
Yeah.
And I think Loki kind of pushes him in that direction.
Oh, Loki definitely pushed him in that direction. That was they directly show that Loki pushed
him in
that
direction. One of my favorite parts of Siege is the homage to the Avengers coming back together. This is quote of like assembled.
Yeah.
Bendis's disassembled.
This is bringing him back together after they'd been broken apart. We have Iron Man, Cap, and Thor finally standing together for the first time in like half a decade.
Yeah. When this book starts, Steve Rogers is not Captain America. Bucky is. Tony Stark.
He puts back on the mantle, though, just for this.
Yes.
Because he wants to be seen waving the flag, standing up against
the Tony Stark is not technically Iron Man. He's still sick from the Secret Invasion, still hurt from that. And there is no Thor yet. Donald Blake's running around. There is no Thor.
They're the same person, but whatever.
Well, yeah, but he hasn't become Thor. He's just still Donald.
He is. Thor has been back for years. What are you talking about?
In that,
you're just completely wrong about that. Okay,
this is where Asgard is floating,
around.
Thor has been spending years running around reviving Asgardians. And that's what led to this, is now there's a huge-ass Asgard with all these people in it.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, though. Before they get to... All right. During Secret Invasion, the event that just preceded the event that you chose, Siege, there was no Thor.
Yeah, it was. He was there at the end of it.
In Secret Invasion?
Yes. He shows up. He's the one who's like hitting his hammer on the ground in Central Park, summoning the Skrulls for a fight. He's the one who kills.
At the beginning of it, though, he's not there. At the beginning,
in the book itself, sure, but he's
at the beginning
there,
of Secret Invasion, he's not in the book itself,
but he's there in the Marvel Universe somewhere.
Yes, that's
he's
what
not
I meant.
Himself.
That's what I meant, though. All right,
Secret Invasion was like the first time he involved himself in the larger affairs of the Marvel Universe, and then
him being back.
Yes,
that's what I had meant.
Just let me talk. You're derailing
because
this.
I think that's an important part of Siege. It's the dawn of the heroic age, the redawning of the heroic age.
Yes. Well, I think that was covered when I just said that it's the first time Thor, Iron Man, and Cap are back together.
I know, but...
let's finish.
Okay. They were really apart.
They were very much apart. This
really
is the event that brought them back together.
I know, I'm not sure why I was agreeing with him.
No, you're saying things that are factually untrue.
That Thor was not a major part of the Avengers.
You said he wasn't there
Siege.
At all. You are
in the Avengers.
Word.
No,
you
he
can't
wasn't.
Say that.
That's what we were talking about.
Just shut up,
Loki
Homer.
Coming back in Siege and reforming the
you
Avengers.
You just said Loki.
Yeah, Loki coming back and influencing to reform the Avengers.
He didn't do it to reform the Avengers.
Of course not. He didn't
stop.
Do it to form the Avengers in the first
just
thing.
Just shut up for a minute.
Okay.
God damn it, you
I know. I just think we are agreeing more than we are. You're just misunderstanding.
Just stop talking.
What I'm
Stop.
Talking about.
Okay.
I think that's
Stop.
What a debate is, though,
Stop.
Isn't it? We talk.
Okay. Debates when you say things that are true.
I did. Larry, Thor was not a member of the Avengers before
I like
the
event
Siege.
Because it was... One thing, it was only four issues.
Yes.
One big problem a lot of these events have is that they drag themselves on... They give themselves artificial length. Like,
yes.
For instance, Secret Invasion, we were just talking about, was eight issues. It could have easily been five. Four, even.
It could have been four.
It did not have to be eight, but
no.
they milked...
Lee and Kirby would have told it in three.
Yeah, in
probably.
Two panels. In two panels,
they
probably.
Milk these stories unnecessarily.
Yes.
Fear itself, which, if I had to argue for worst event, I might argue that one.
It was bad.
Was seven was issues when it could have been, like, four.
I think this has to do with them wanting to sell tie-ins. And if
yes.
the longer the book goes, they do.
Well, it's about them selling books. But
yeah.
with Siege, at least, I can read the entire main story in four issues... There's a ton of tie-ins, sure, but I don't
yeah.
have to read them.
You don't. No, you don't need the tie-ins at all.
One of the large reasons why I stay out of events sometimes is all the tie-ins.
Yeah. It is a
See, just
bad
nice
mark.
And self-contained, a nice short story, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's one on the shelf, so it's
I will say a bad part of that is it doesn't have a lot of room to tell people... To fill people in on the current status quo, which you really need to know a lot of what's going on to be able to pick up Siege. If you're out of Marvel Comics and don't understand what was happening just before Siege, you're not going to have any freaking clue of about Norman and his Dark Avengers. There's going to be a lot lost there.
Well, that's a fair point.
I don't think it's as accessible as Civil War.
I would argue that, okay, Civil War wouldn't mean anything to me if I didn't already know who Cap and Tony were.
Well,
you
I
yourself
think,
just talked about
think,
all these events building up to it.
Yeah, but I think Cap and Tony in that book were the same Cap and Tony that everyone pretty much knows. Norman
Every
Oz-
comic reader knows. You're talking about new reader accessibility.
Well, yeah, exactly. if I went and just saw the movies, let's say, or just saw the Avengers cartoon show, if I have any idea who the Avengers are, I'm going to know who the characters in Civil War are, for the most part.
Fair enough.
But if you go into Siege, you're not going to have any idea that the Iron Patriot is Norman Osborn, and you're not going to really understand why he's in charge of Hammer, and it doesn't give you a lot of backstory. And also, I didn't think you were a big Bendis fan. It was odd for me for you to pick a Bendis event.
Normally, the reason I don't like Bendis is I don't like Bendis as like a long-term writer because he keeps using the same characters over and over again.
In his ongoings,
he's the same villain for like a year straight.
Yeah, the Hood.
They defeat the villain, and then immediately he's back.
The Hood was
okay. We're just like they defeat Norman Osborn at the end of this event, and he's immediately back, like three issues later in the Avengers.
You're right.
I also don't. His dialogue quirks get a little tiresome.
I thought his writing of Asgardians was bad.
Asgardians were even talking in the book?
Dude, it starts off with, what's his name? Volstagg in Chicago, and then they go to Asgard, and Baldur's in there, Heimdall's in there, Thor's throughout the whole damn thing. But yeah, there's a lot of Asgardians, and I felt like he had modernized the way that Asgardians speak. And it kind of bugged me a little
bit. It's been a long time since they tried to make them talk Shakespeare talk.
Well, Jason Aaron, I think, does a lot better job of it in his current run of Thor than Bendis did. And even, who was it before Bendis? Who was doing the lead up to Thor finding all those Asgardians? Was it Matt Fraction?
Maybe it's just that I'm holding it against the standard of, like, Dan Juergens and terrible faux Shakespeare dialogue.
Oh, yeah, no. I never liked that. But there definitely did seem... Bendis wasn't quite sure how to write Asgardians.
I didn't get that vibe.
No, it's okay.
We'll disagree and disagree.
No, that's
about
fine.
That one.
The action in Siege is amazing.
It is.
Sentry, again, finally gets his comeuppance, in this, which seemed a little sudden to me because they have everybody throwing everything they can at Sentry, and Sentry still comes back, and then Tony Stark comes back and throws a helicarrier at him, and poof, it takes him down enough for Thor to come in and do his thing. It seemed, a little abrupt, but it was still awesome. Sentry ripping Ares in half was amazing, and Oliver Coppel drawing the guts of Ares was just awesome. Awesome. Love that event, dude. That's a good pick, Siege. Short to the point. You might have to know a little bit more backstory than other events, but definitely worth the read. Does anyone else want to say anything about Siege? I loved Siege. It was great. It was kind of like the bookend to Bendis' decade of events, and it really sort of relaunched the Marvel U with the heroic age.
Civil War was the start of an era. Siege was the end of that same era.
Agreed. Yeah, totally agreed. Yeah, and it started the heroic age, which I freaking loved, man. All the relaunches of the comics and Cap coming back and Thor back and the new Iron Man book. Do you have a pick, Adam, for best event? I think people are mad at me. I think I was misunderstood and I was trying to clear it up.
I think you misunderstood things.
No, what I said was Siege sort of paid an
homage. I do not want to get this shit.
Okay,
again.
This is okay. Adam,
we're done.
Shut up. Okay.
Okay.
Enough. The claws are out.
I know, right?
So, for diversity's sake, I wanted to pick a DC book as best event, but after looking at it all, I just can't.
What's wrong with DC events?
I just can't. Well, the problem with DC events is that they're not really events. They're either things like Crisis on Infinite Earths, where it's just crazy.
Well, a bit of an aside, that's the great granddaddy of all.
That is the great granddaddy of all. So especially DC events.
Shout out!
And
it is
a good read, but but every DC event afterwards is basically just a redo of Crisis of Infinite Earths. At least that's what it feels like to me.
They're rebooting.
Yeah, and when it's not,
they're either like directly like they are self-conscious about the influence, like Infinite Crisis,
exactly,
or Final Crisis, even to some degree.
Final Crisis,
get the letters back in there.
It's either like that or it is about one specific character mainly.
Yeah.
Like, like Blackest Night. Sure, everybody was in Blackest Night, but that was
a lantern.
That
story.
Was a Green Lantern
centered story.
Yeah, it was a Green Lantern centered story. Yeah. So,
but I would say DC does a lot more of that than Marvel does.
It does.
It seems like they do.
It does.
Like the Doomed current line in Superman, the storyline.
Yeah,
it's going into four different Superman books.
Not mainly two.
Well,
but
still, it's weird though.
It is very weird.
All the Green Lantern books cross over. It seems like every 3 months they're crossing over.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ugh.
That's just the way it works in DC. So
even their books that are just event books, like Amazon's Attack, it was still just a Wonder Woman book.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, DC?
I don't.
Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing, though. I mean,
I enjoyed Blackest Night.
Blackest Night was great.
I liked Blackest Night.
I loved Blackest Night.
I didn't mind it at all. I had a big problem with it, but it didn't take away from.
But it just feels like all of its events are just extensions of its solo ongoing titles.
Just as long as enough for them to reboot their entire universe.
Yeah. Like Batman Eternal, I wouldn't consider that an event just because it happens to be a weekly.
That's its own ongoing title.
Yeah, New 52, Futures End, same thing.
Yeah,
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint was an event, but Flashpoint was terrible.
Yeah, Flashpoint was not good.
Terrible.
Yes,
and it ended up rebooting the universe.
Okay, yeah. So what are you going to go with then?
Yeah,
now that we're done just shitting all over.
I'm gonna go with a book that I read at least once a year. I'm gonna go with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Dude, Starlin Perez?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I read this last night. George Perez can do no wrong with a pencil. This dude is amazing.
It's great art. It's it is just a fun read is what it is. It's all it is. I mean, it is a popcorn.
Yeah.
It's not very deep.
It's an old event. The first two issues of that is nothing but setup for the rest of it, and it's a slow
setup. It is kind of slow, but once it gets going, it goes.
My favorite part of that is Eros without a mouth for like three issues because Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet just says, "No, I'm done hearing you talk," and just takes Eros' mouth away. I love it.
Anytime anyone shuts up Starfax, that's an adventure.
Yeah, right? Oh, man. Adam Warlock in that book's awesome.
Yeah.
Book's about him more than anyone else, really. Well, I guess it's about Thanos, but.
Yeah, I would say it's about Thanos.
It is about Thanos.
Yeah.
And, you know, this event is getting more popularity and it's getting more relevant as the Marvel movies are going along.
It's one of those big watershed moments for comic books. It keeps getting referred back to.
Yeah.
It was probably like the definitive cosmic Marvel event.
That's what Marvel thinks too with their movies. You know, they're pulling a lot from this series.
Building up to Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet for Avengers 3 in all likelihood.
Yeah, and it's definitely the Thanos from Infinity Gauntlet, not the gray, ugly Thanos from Annihilation. He is disgustingly ugly, almost unrecognizable in Annihilation.
He was never a looker, but...
He looks a lot cooler in Infinity Gauntlet. He looks like the Thanos we all know and love.
My favorite name for Thanos is from the Marvel Zombies, Prune Face.
Yeah, that was fun. Would we consider that an event? Marvel Zombies. No, Marvel Zombies. It's out of continuity.
No, because that's not continuity.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of my rules.
Yeah. I still liked Marvel Zombies. Do we have any other picks for best event? How about our second favorite event? Because Infinity Gauntlet is definitely one of my favorites. House of M ranks up there, but you had a beef with House of M, Taylor.
I do not care for House of M. There's no plot to it.
There is no plot. It's all
exposition.
It's all exposition. Look at
this
cool world.
The plot starts and stops in the same issue.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. There were very cool things going on
in
House
of M.
Beautiful
artwork. Olivia Coipelagan.
Oh, yeah. Cool characters in there. One of my favorite characters in all of Marvel Comics, Layla Miller, was introduced in there.
Okay, this is another big Bendis beef I have. It's like people will bring up valid points and they'll just be dismissed out of hand.
Yes.
Or like it's like, well, as far as we may remember it differently, but technically this is the way the universe has always been because reality got warped around it. Why is our reality more valid than this reality?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a pondersome question.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a word, but it's the word.
It is. I think it's a word.
It's a thought-provoking question, but then Wolverine's like, you're an idiot, Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's go.
Yeah. The one thing about House
of
M, it brings a tear to my eye every time. The last issue of that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, is just so pissed that the House of M world wasn't real. He's just so mad that everything.
Well, there's like they're always like Magneto's a dick. And he didn't even do it.
It wasn't his fault. Yeah, it wasn't his fault.
They treat like
No, you're right.
They treated Magneto like he was the worst mass murderer in human history. No, he's not exactly a saint, but still.
But like, that part of House of M gets me every time. Just a tear to my eye when Peter's in Avengers Tower breaking the table because he's just so mad and pissed off. And you can understand why. Any other picks? Any other favorite events?
I'm going to sit it out.
You don't want to mention your Predators and Aliens?
Oh, it was a good series.
It was a good series.
It brought, for Dark Horse to bring those two properties together into one issue, it was magnificently done.
I agree.
But I guess just, there's a few like big influential things that I guess we should mention.
Yes.
Infinite Crisis actually was, I was talking to you guys before, it was probably like, after Dark Knight Returns, it was like the first big comic thing I ever read.
Yeah. It's very important.
Part of what got me into comics, but then like, but really, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, the event,
yeah.
It did have this thing like you guys were just talking about. It's like it's just resets DC, and since then, it's happened over and over again to the point where we've gotten tired of it. But it did it first, and it accomplished some important things back then, like nerfing Superman.
Superman. It had a lot of big events in it. It had the. The death of Barry Allen, which is one of the best deaths
stuck in decades, which is stuck forever.
Do we want to talk about events currently going on and how they might rank? How do we like Infinity?
Do we like Original Sin? It's a little too soon after Infinity me to say it's like one of my favorites, but it's very good.
I loved it. I thought it had everything an event needs.
Except for an ending.
Really big
moment. This is coming from a guy who picked Civil War as his.
Exactly. So with that said,
of an ending than Civil War.
But I think the things that did happen in Infinity have had a huge impact on the Marvel Universe since then. Cool. I think we should wrap that on that, man.
All right.
But yeah, what about Forever Evil? We don't even want to talk about Forever Evil, do we?
No.
I don't think so either.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
No, we weren't going to bring that up.
I know how veiny you'll get.
I Hulk out a little bit when it comes to Forever Evil. I think a lot of people miss the point that it was really just copying everything Marvel has been doing with their events for the past decade.
We could do worst events sometime, and that might be on my short list.
Oh, wow, really?
Well, spoiler alert, if we ever do worst event, it's going to be Fear Itself for me.
Oh, that's actually a really good one.
Yeah.
Well, cool. We're wrapping this one. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's been another Geekly Debate. As always, thanks to Comic City 2. Check them out at comiccity2.com. We couldn't do any of this without them. If you have anything that you want us to debate about, have any ideas and want to hear us whine and talk about that and get angry about that, send us an email or leave us a message on wherever the hell you found this podcast. Check out Comic City, or I already said Comic City 2. Check out OutrightGeekery.com. We have this podcast, other podcasts, all kinds of articles and comic book crap. And that's it.
Join us next week on the Geekly Debate. Same bat time, same bat channel.